Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff. With real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
All right, we're getting deep today. If you're into beauty, as I'm sure you are, you want to hear some real talk?
This is the episode for you.
Buckle up.
What are we talking about this episode, Jess?
Oh yeah, I'm Jess.
I'm Jen. Hey, this is Fat Mascara.
Yes. Okay, we're talking about two hot hair trends that have caught our eyes. Then also, you've heard of fast fashion, H&M, Zara, you get the idea. But have you heard of fast beauty? And we check in with Vicky and her lashes. She's been trying the new Plume Lash Enhancer. Who's our guest?
She's the reason this is such a deep episode, but also a fun episode. It's Autumn Whitefield Medrano. She's the author of a new book called Face Value, The Hidden Ways Beauty Shapes Women's Lives. And she's going to tell us all about what we really think about ourselves and all the research she's done into beauty and what it means to us today.
She's saying what you're thinking. It's like unbelievable.
Jess, did you see Halle Berry's new haircut?
I did.
Okay, just last week she got an undercut. I completely forgot about undercuts, but basically when you put your hair up on a pony and you shave the underside.
Yeah.
She got one of those, but then she got an undercut tattoo, which is Yeah. So I guess someone took a clipper, and buzzed into the undercut. The design of hers looks like a lotus to me.
Flash me the pic.
Here's the pic. Does that look like a lotus?
So I went online. Yeah, it does. That is like a lotus, isn't it?
Yeah, I went searching for more of these, and it's kind of a thing now.
It reminds me of like when people would shave like their like favorite like basketball team's name or like rappers' names into their head.
On the sides.
Yeah.
Usually men.
Yeah, usually guys.
So girls now, if they're doing the undercut, are also getting these tattoos. I have to be honest, I've seen the undercut grow out, and it ain't pretty.
I'll never forget my brother had like an undercut, like a skater undercut, and growing that out. I remember like it was a real rough time for him because it comes out like a little block and then you have like the longer hair over it.
Yes.
It's not cute. You don't know what you're getting into with an undercut. Think twice.
Think twice. It's a cute look for you, for some people. I like how it looks, but like it looks good for a couple weeks and then when it grows in, it's like Chia Pet action. So if you're going to get an undercut, my advice, think twice.
Get a flash tat if you need to make a statement.
Get a flash tat. Another trend, though, you should try instead, which I'm really feeling. Yeah. I need a better name for it, but I'm calling it like the slicked back hair or like the scraped back mullet or like the Robert Palmer look.
Like scraped and sexy, slicked, the slick back.
Yeah. So Kim Kardashian did this at the Met Gala. Mm-hmm. Kendall Jenner does it all the time. Doubts and Crows did it at Cannes. Joan Smalls did it at Cannes. It's the new beachy waves, in my opinion, of like red carpet hair.
Oh, yeah, beachy waves, done.
Over. So basically, you're slicking back the front of your hair and then letting it hang loose in the back.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, this is cool again.
I feel like it's very, it's like edgy, but it's also very sexy and it's very fresh. Like it's very confident because your hair isn't like in your face and like, oh, I'm pretty. It's like, this is my fucking face. Excuse my language.
Yeah, no, it's got like, you know, it's got like
edgy. It's
bad bitch vibe to it
completely.
A little bit.
Like you were saying, like Robert Palmer, your face forward and your hair is back.
Super old reference. It's going to make me like, it sound really old.
But if you're too young, Google Robert Palmer. You will be stealing this look tonight.
But when I was like a little kid, I remember that video and the cool girls in the background.
Addicted to love.
Yeah. So the thing is with this look, I think it can go really wrong if you don't do it right. So I asked Mark Townsend.
Oh, you got some tips.
I got some tips.
Oh, he always shows up with tips, thank God.
He does the hair goddesses, which are Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen, also their little sister. And he does Dakota Johnson, who's actually done this look, even with her bangs. And he was saying, you would think gel is the way to go for this look, but he was saying he likes to start with dry hair, not wet hair, even though it looks wet,
whoa,
and then put mousse on. So much mousse that it becomes to look wet, and then do the scrape back.
That's an amazing tip. I've been going about it all wrong.
Right, because I thought if I was going to do this, I would do wet hair, put some gel in, scrape it back. But then you're going to end up looking like the weird guy that worked at Pizza Hut and like played video
like
games.
Like just greasy.
Yeah. So dry hair with mousse on top. He likes the Dove mousse. And then the other key is, which something else I would do wrong, is I would comb it back because I want it to like really be off my face and like hit it with a blow dryer. You do hit it with a blow dryer. He said, do not use a comb. Why, you ask?
Why, Jen?
Because a comb would put in comb marks, which would just give you the mullet Pizza Hut guy look. You want to use your fingers to scrape it back so it has that disheveled kind of, I just threw my hair back like this kind of thing instead of very purposeful. I was like, if anybody invites me to a red carpet event, no, not happening.
That's not true.
Maybe
you go to
wedding.
Some fancy. No, you there's go to some fancy stuff, Jen.
Okay, next fancy thing that comes up, I'm going to try the slick back look. But if you're listening, we need a better name for it. So, like, tweet us.
Yeah, tweet us some names.
Yeah, what should we call this
And if
look?
You have any tips, because seriously, everyone has their own little recipe, let us know too. But names first, names first.
Very good. So that's a trend, and we are going to try it.
Jen, my mind was blown the other day by this headline.
Yeah, tell me.
Jaclyn Hill, you know, like the beauty lifestyle blogger,
mm-hmm.
and beauty brand Becca, latest collab had $1 million in sales in 90 minutes.
$1 million worth in an
sales,
hour and a half.
In an hour and a half. Like, that's like a Will Ferrell movie.
That's your analogy?
Yeah. 90 minutes to me is always a Will Ferrell movie. Love Will Ferrell.
She's not alone, though. There's been a lot of brands lately where they'll do like a limited edition palette, or it's just a social media star and it's out now, get it now, and it's sold out really quick.
The people went crazy. The fans went nuts.
People go crazy. I'm calling it fast beauty.
I love that.
Yes. Remember fast fashion, and everybody was like, oh, it's a throwaway trend. Go to H&M, blah, 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 fast fashion.
Yes.
This is fast beauty. But there's a big but for me.
Is there a dark underbelly?
Well, did you see the news after it sold out? That particular palette, she did it with Becca, which I think of as a very high-end beauty brand. They make some great foundations.
Beautiful highlighters.
Yeah, apparently the shadows were kind of patchy and chalky when you put them on. I think of, like, you want to know what a bad eyeshadow is? Remember it, like, JCPenney when you were growing up and there was, like, the 500-color eyeshadow?
Oh, my God. I would, like, kill a woman for that palette.
You're like, this is amazing. And then you would, like, go into the turquoise and it would, like, not even show up on your
skin.
You need,
like, a butter knife to, like, get through it.
Like, color payoff, zero.
Oh.
No. So I don't think it was that bad, but a lot of people commented on social media that it just was not up to their standards. And good on them. They actually posted and they said, you know what? We used a different factory than we usually did because we needed more for the demand.
Oh, they owned up to the fact that they used didn't use the Becca people.
It actually makes me like them more. I'm like, you know what? If you screw up, you got to own up to it. Because if we're talking about fast beauty, there's also the Kylie lip kit. Of course, it was mm-hmm. fabulous. We talked about it on our podcast a while back. But a lot of people got it and had a janky brush that was all like,
oh yeah. Well, the people that make it, ColourPop, they were saying that their whole factory is like, they were able to like get a trend and then like pump it out really quickly versus like Chanel, they're working on their like 2019 colors right now as you're listening to this.
You're right, because it takes so long to prepare them. But there's a downside to this, which is if you're doing it quickly, you're not able to do A, consumer testing, or B, lab samples or real world testing, like how will it act once it's in the compact, not just when it's in the factory. Good example of this is Jeffree Star's highlighter that just came out.
I haven't seen that. Tell me about that.
So he launched 4 shades of highlighter, and one of the shades, you know, there's different minerals in each color. So yeah. One might have iron oxides and one has, you know, red 42 or whatever. One shade, everybody who got it pretty much, when they got it in the mail and opened it up, it was already crumbly and crushed. Like it hadn't held together well. So these are the kind of things that if you're buying fast beauty, you have to be aware of. It's not getting tested first. They're pumping it out really quickly, and that's a great thing. But
there could be a trade-off. Like, you know, the Chanels and Diors of the world are like rigorous testing constantly because they have that time, the luxury. It's a different model. It's just a different model.
It is. And they also have the store where you can go in and try it and see, you know what, it is really good. Whereas if you're ordering something online or through Instagram, it shows up at your door and that's the first you're seeing it.
Yeah.
So fast beauty, we love it in theory, but I feel like you have to be a little bit wary of it.
You might have to be wary. And, you know, I think also some of these things are so social media. They're so hot on social media because these stars are social media stars. Mm-hmm. We're probably also hearing about the pissy customers too a lot more.
Yeah. But
so like they better get the product right if they're going to do it, because their customers are going to be super vocal. They're going to be really happy either way. You know, they're going to be happy or really angry.
To end it, I'll just say Jeffree Star was the first person to neg on Kylie about her lip kit brushes.
He did?
Yeah, pot calling the kettle black, and then his palette doesn't live up to the hype. Mm. So as long as they own up to it, I'm cool with that. But yeah, people, be wary. Listeners, if you'll remember, back in episode 15, we introduced you to a natural lash enhancer from Plume, and we promised that our producer, Vicky, would be our test bunny and try it out for us. So we're going to check
in. It's so funny, like all products like tested on Vicky.
Yes,
not on animals.
I'm into it. It's fun for me.
So Vicky, I found out after I gave you the lash enhancer, you've actually done some lash enhancing of your own before Plume. What have you tried?
I have. I've tried everything. That's the one thing. When someone has long eyelashes, I'm obsessed. I have nothing. It's so sad. My bottom lashes, as you can see.
I'm looking.
Or can't see. They're so blonde, which I'm not even blonde. They suck. Anyways, I've done it all. I've done Latisse eyelash extensions.
You did do Latisse, the prescription version.
Yeah, I did it, and it works for sure. But, you know, there's like, oh, your eyes might turn brown or whatever.
Those beautiful colored eyes.
But then I thought, whatever.
Are they hazel or something?
I'll look like Kate Bosworth or something. You know, she's got that like birthmark.
It's also expensive, like paying for that every month.
It is expensive, but if you really think about it, it's like $100. And if it really works, I spent $100 on
Why'd
spray tan.
Why'd you stop with the Latisse?
I just got lazy and, you know, you have to keep going. And who really wants to go get a prescription? And now I think I'm more like into natural things than I once was.
Okay. You are like a natural beauty guru.
Yeah, yeah. This was a few years ago. And I was into it then, but now I'm like a little nutty about it.
So before we ask you about the Plume, you also got lash extensions?
I did lash extensions. They're the best. The thing is, they're not really your lashes, and they're a pain in the ass when you take off your makeup, and you have to be very delicate.
My eyes itched when I had them.
They were a little bit irritating. It wasn't, you know, beauty is pain. I just dealt with it, but...
How long did they last?
Mine lasted a really long time, like a month, but then when they start falling off, you look insane.
Yeah.
Because you have like three long eyelashes, and then you have nothing else. So
it's like a cracked out.
It was
cracking.
Very
it's like the cracking of your
very
eyeballs.
Jank. Not a good look.
So I gave you the Plume. I want to say it was 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
What did you think of it? How's it been going?
These things take time. Like Latisse, I didn't realize that it was working for almost like a little over a month.
Oh wow!
But it works. My eyelashes feel—they're darker. I don't know if they're necessarily longer, but they feel.
I think they are darker. I'm staring at you.
Yeah, they're thicker. So I think it's working. I like it because it's a natural approach to Latisse, and you don't have to go to the doctors to get, you know, to get it.
Have you been using top and bottom?
I do top and bottom, and I do my eyebrows. Eyebrows.
Oh, off-label usage, Vicky.
It's on the bottle, actually.
Oh, it is. Okay, my bad.
On-label usage.
Off-label usage.
Latisse, it's not, and I did it anyways. It's the eyebrows, I don't know. I kind of feel like if you don't have them, you don't have them. Like, it's nothing really works.
So far, 3 weeks in, your top lashes look a little bit darker.
And my bottom ones a little bit, but my bottom ones are really, really light.
So any improvement is good news.
Yeah.
Okay, but since Latisse took you a month, I feel like we're going to need another check-in. Jess, thoughts?
Yeah, let's take another check-in.
We'll do one in like a few weeks.
Okay, I want to see like Big Miss Piggy lashes.
Ooh. I'd love that.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll check back with Vicky in 2 or 3 weeks, a month in, see how it's going. In the meantime, check out the blog at fatmascara.com if you want to find out what product she's using.
A pair of false lashes and a tube.
We're here with Autumn Whitefield Medrano, a good friend of mine. We used to work together at Cosmo Girl magazine. She's a writer, has written for Salon, Jezebel, Mary Claire, Glamour. And she's the author of a new Simon & Schuster book that comes out this week. It is called Face Value, The Hidden Ways Beauty Shapes Women's Lives. So we brought Autumn here to talk like everything feminism and beauty.
Oh, yeah. We can do that.
We're Are you ready?
I'm down with that.
Autumn, before you even wrote a book, you had the best blog I've ever read called The Beheld. Tell me, what is The Beheld about, and what were some of the most popular posts that you wrote about?
The Beheld was actually started, I didn't really want to write about beauty so much. I wanted to know what other women had to say about beauty. So I started just interviewing people all over the spectrum of just like every experience you could have with beauty. I interviewed a nun, I interviewed a sex worker, several sex workers, like a fashion photographer, model, a little person, just like people who had really diverse experiences with beauty. And the more I heard them talk, two things happened. I found that I had a lot to say. I was like, wait, I want to say something about that. So I started writing. And I also found out that, I mean, when a nun and a dominatrix are both telling you that they love drugstore eyeshadow, you're on to something. Like, you know, like how different could these women be? But they were reporting in these certain ways, these very similar experiences. So I wanted to get, you know, delve more into it. And as far as popular posts, my most popular post to date is I did an anti-aging cream experiment. I wore anti-age cream on half my face for a month and none on the other.
Oh, and then you're brave.
I was like, what if this is like the worst idea? And it was interesting because people could kind of tell. Then I posted like pictures, you know, like, and you could vote for which side of my face it was. And by a small margin, people could tell which side of my face I'd put it on. But just by a small margin, and this is one of those creams that was like, works in 1 week. And I'm like, right, you know. Mm-hmm. So I did do something. But that gets a lot, that still gets a lot of traffic when people are looking for the cream, actually. And I also did, the thing that got more attention than anything else, I think, is the Mirror Fast. I went 30 days.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, I did 2 Mirror Fasts, actually. I didn't look in the mirror for a month.
You were posting, you were doing your blog, you did a Mirror Fast. At what point were you like, you know, I might have a book here? What made you write this book, and how would you describe it to someone who wants to go buy it right now? Simon & Schuster, Amazon.com.
Face Value, the hidden place. Well, there hadn't been a so-called big book about beauty since The Beauty Myth came out, and that was now 25 years ago. And a lot has changed since The Beauty Myth. And for people who haven't read The Beauty Myth, it's Naomi Wolf's wonderful book from 25 years ago that posits that women, the pressure on women to look a certain way has grown in accordance with their growing power in the world. So it's like, okay, wait, y'all are getting political positions, y'all are becoming CEOs, so let's make you look really good while you're doing it to kind of focus your attention elsewhere. It was, you know, an enormous and important book, but we hadn't had a book since then that really looked like what is going on in women's lives today with beauty. And also that idea sort of really took hold. I mean, people weren't talking about self-image and body positivity 25 years ago. That book made it happen. So here we have a generation of women who have grown up with these terms, who have grown up thinking about beauty in a more complex way than just, you know, curl your hair and put on your lipstick. So what does beauty look like then for women who grew up with these sort of ideas floating around out there, even if they'd never read The Beauty Myth or heard of it?
Right. So you, when you describe your book, you talk a lot about the beauty imperative.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an idiot. And I was like, what does that mean? Then I Googled it, which obviously you can't Google something like that. But what does it mean to you?
To me, I use the term to differentiate from the beauty standard, because we talk a lot about the beauty standard sort of in the feministy world, and I'm seeing it more and more in more mainstream ways, which is actually a reflection of how feminism is becoming more mainstream. And when we talk about the beauty standard, I feel like a lot of times we're talking about a series of standards. Like the beauty standard for a 40-year-old white woman is very different than for a 19-year-old Latina woman. So you're having to talk about a beauty standard is a little limiting. And it also, I think, speaks to sort of the optics of the way a woman should look, whereas when I'm talking about the beauty imperative, I'm talking about the need for women to look good at all times. Like, you can't sort of just, like, let it all hang out or whatever, or people say you're letting yourself go. So it's more the idea that you must look beautiful if you're going to be taken seriously or just be considered at all in this world.
And do you think men have a beauty imperative these days?
No.
You really don't think so?
I think it's growing. I think that the pressure on men is absolutely growing, absolutely changing. There's a lot of worry that men experience that they've always experienced.
Like, what about the fact that so many men are getting Botox now, and that's like the fastest growing group, or one of the fastest? I think it's one of the fastest growing groups for Botox.
Oh, yes.
Like, I feel like they are under more pressure.
They are. They're definitely under more pressure. But I wouldn't say that men universally, when I say universally, I'm talking about the United States. I wouldn't say that they have a beauty imperative. Mm-hmm. Men can go out, like, you look at the whole
This is our Bernie Sanders discussion we had.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You're taken more seriously. Like, can you imagine if Hillary Clinton took the debate stage looking like
Rumpled
Bernie Sanders?
With her hair gray and frizzy.
No,
exactly.
Everyone, like, she'd be torn to bits. Remember that one time when she was Secretary of State and she didn't wear makeup for, like, a press conference freaked out?
Yeah.
Like, so it's that. But Bernie Sanders,
A man can be all wrinkly and gross and he's mm-hmm. still, like, opposite a 22-year-old.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. There's almost this idea that if you look more rumpled, that you're taken more seriously.
Yeah.
And it's not the case with women.
No. No. So it's more that when I say that men don't yet live under a beauty imperative.
That's what the beauty imperative is. But what about beauty itself? It's one of those terms that people like to say it's not objective. It's in the eye of the
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
beholder. Uniqueness is beautiful. But you did a lot of research into the objectiveness of beauty. What did you find? Are there standards that are beautiful across cultures, or are they not holding up anymore?
That is such a complicated question, and there's no one answer. There is a lot of research out there on this, and there, sort of the quick answer to that is that there are certain things that generally people consider beautiful, like on women, like curvy hips and a somewhat smaller waist, and like clear skin on people, thick hair, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. That said, for every thing like that that you discover that some study proves, there's another study completely refuting it. And B, it's always more complex than that. And it doesn't, I haven't found anything that I can point to and be like, yes, this is it. This is the thing.
This is what beautiful is.
Yeah, like the thing that for
like
me.
Like the whole thing about symmetry that I know of, people love writing about this. Like the more mm-hmm. symmetrical your face is, Christy Turlington has the most symmetrical face, so it's the most beautiful. But you're able to say there's something on the other side of it as well.
Study after study has shown that that's actually not the case. That there's a lot of studies that maybe like 20 years ago were looking at symmetry. And they were finding, oh, gosh, symmetrical faces are the most beautiful. What they were doing were they were generating computer composite faces that were artificially symmetrical. And those faces were considered somewhat more beautiful than a regular face. But when actual people's faces are more symmetrical than someone else's face, who just looks a little asymmetrical like most of us do, there's no difference. Like our eye does not detect that level of difference in people. And study after study has shown this. So, but then, you know, there are, if someone has like a deformity per se, like that will affect how conventionally attractive someone is.
But so everyone can calm down about the, like that theory is kind of not so right.
I just wouldn't say, I mean, we're talking a thing about millimeters here, you know,
right.
When most, I mean, everyone has some degree of asymmetry.
I actually, in college, I did my thesis on some of Nancy mm-hmm. Etcoff's work,
yeah.
Which shows that across cultures, beauty is also something that looks fertile and youthful, almost like a baby, like big eyes on mm-hmm. a woman, plump cheeks, these kind of things. Does any of that hold up as remaining beautiful?
There's, again, yes and no.
No, this is good, because I think when you see the headlines, it's always like, beauty is this, beauty is that. But you're saying it's a much more nuanced
thing.
It's
much more nuanced. And I know I've read plenty of studies about like the baby face thing. And that is like larger eyes on women. And that it's basically what it comes down to is that the things that I can kind of with some confidence say, yes, this is a trait of beauty, are things called sexual dimorphism. So things that make men look like men and women look like women. So women do naturally have somewhat bigger eyes and somewhat bigger lips. So those traits are generally considered more beautiful.
And those are the things that go away with age. Like
to a degree.
So like when you see women who are trying to like, you know, plump their lips and basically do things, whether cosmetically with cosmetics or with surgery, like what is your thought on that? Like, can you fault them?
I wouldn't fault anyone for mm-hmm. doing something like that. No, yeah. I think that,
because it's like what their beauty by definition is going away.
Ooh, true.
Yeah.
Like just like factually it is.
Well, now that if you do say factually, the big eyes and the full lips.
Yeah, like that's what's happening.
We just backed you into a corner, Bob.
Oh, damn, woman.
No, but that's a good point that you bring
up. It is. Yeah. And that's the thing. It does suck.
Really sucks. But then men, like, okay, so what's...
Right. What, an angular jawline man.
What happens to men? Like on the other, like, just
full brow, but the brows get fuller.
The brows get fuller. They get more ear hair.
Like, okay, so like what happens to men? That what makes them like manly? Like a strong jaw?
A strong jaw, a heavy brow, a prominent nose. There's something about
their noses get bigger.
Their noses get bigger. It's like they're getting more manly.
Okay, like Harrison Ford, furrier eyebrows, bigger nose. Like,
and then they can use a beard to fake a jawline. So
yeah. I'm out. I'm done.
Yeah.
Like...
That's, mic drop right
like
there.
How can like, how could you like, it's a losing game.
I mean, in some
for
ways,
women,
in some ways it is. That said, women report being happier with how they look as they age. So there's this dichotomy, because you do see women chasing this idea of youth and beauty, but I think that we do get happier in general as we get older, and that does include our satisfaction with our appearance. I also think that our ideas of aging are changing somewhat. I don't see women like lying about their age so much, mm-hmm. because it's more like, but then again, it's the duality. Like, we're not afraid to admit our age because we also have all these wonderful products at our disposal.
And we look pretty damn good for our age.
We do. Yeah. It's funny when someone 20 years old is like, oh, you're 40? I'm like, everyone my age looks this way. You know, like, maybe not everyone looks this way. But, like, I look at my friends who are my age, and we all look about the same. We look 40, but someone who's 20 doesn't see that we look 40, you know. Mm-hmm. But, to go back to the science question a little bit as far as, like, what is objectively beautiful, what I find a more interesting question actually is why are there are dozens of studies each year, hundreds, thousands over decades, measuring millimeters, like the millimeter, like between the distance between the tip of your nose and the filter, your filter, like, I mean, just these incredibly detailed studies. And I'm like, why are we spending so much attention on it? I mean, it just blows my mind. Why are we so willing to spend all these resources on it? You know,
yeah.
it's incredible to me that we haven't quit yet.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We spend a lot of money and we use a lot of words to talk about mm-hmm. beauty too. It's crazy to me when you say, you know, someone's beautiful that you could have 50 more synonyms to describe them. So you talk about this a lot in your book about how much power these kind of words have. When you were doing your research, mm-hmm. what did you find about the power of words and how women describe themselves? And why was that interesting to you?
Well, I was usually sitting there face to face with women, so it was more like, what words do you want to hear about yourself? And more often than not, like, the greatest compliment, people are like, oh, what would I want people to say about me? What they would tell me were usually words that I would use to describe them. Like, I have this friend, like, sultry, like, you know, the flowing hair and the full lips, and she was like, I just want to be sexy. And I'm like, honey, you are. Like,
right.
It was really interesting. And I remember this woman who has this really, like, quirky but quiet fashion sense. She wears, like, tea-length dresses. She was like, I want to be fetching. And that just struck, I'm like, fetching, exactly. Like, there's, ooh. I know, like, three people on the planet who would want to be fetching, and she's one of them. It was like we all know the words we want to hear used about ourselves. And so we have, like, this natural appeal to that.
Okay, you know, what about the word no woman likes to hear, which is cute?
Cute. Cute.
You knew it right away.
Oh, yeah.
If someone called me cute, I'd just be like, oh.
Yeah.
What is it about that word? Like,
it's a lot of women find it belittling. Because, I mean, think of what else we use to describe something as cute, like puppies and babies, you know? Mm. And women are not puppies or babies. And so it's used, like, actually in the book I have this story about my friend Sarah, who's not cute. She's gorgeous. She used to be a model. She was, like, 6 feet tall, alabaster skin, the kind of person you'd, like, double take on the street. And this intern at her husband's workplace had a crush on him, and it was obvious. And Sarah's not, like, one of those, like, bitchy women, but she was like, I'm not going to let her, like, get her claws into my husband. So when she knew that she was going to be seeing this
girl. Sounds like a good story.
Oh, yeah. She dressed up. She dressed up like pinup girl, Vargas. Like, I mean, just you could just see her, like, on the cover of Playboy, like, 1952. And this girl, this intern, walks up to her at this work event and is like, Sarah, you look so cute. Yeah.
Ooh, and that bitch.
Bitch is going
you
down.
You can just see it like this dagger.
You look,
like,
so cute.
Exactly. It's belittling.
Yeah.
You know, it's has this, even though it's ostensibly a compliment, it's not. There's this pulse of superiority underneath it.
Yeah.
It's a way of asserting sort of a hierarchical role, like, you're cute, I'm somewhere above that,
yeah.
You know? Yeah, yeah.
I have to ask you, I've spoken to, you know, just different people in the beauty field, like different academics, and just also, like, anecdotally, I feel like there's a lot of girls right now who feel, like, really terrible about themselves, and, like, you know, they're posting on Instagram, like, younger girls, like, I feel so awful today, like, sad face, mirror, you know, and, like, 30,000 comments underneath, like, me too, hang in there, like, this kind of culture of almost, like, low self-esteem, low self-image. Yes, like, it's this, to me, kind of peculiar bonding thing. But then on the other hand, I think, what a great time for, like, our self-image, because you can be anything, any color, any shape, any size, and it's like, you know, you do you. So what is your perspective on like the climate right now? Because I feel like it's so far in either direction.
It's real. There's a big, I don't even want to say schism. The biggest thing that I learned in researching this book and talking with dozens of women in these in-depth talks was that we all have a complicated relationship with beauty. Like, I sort of went into this book a little naively thinking, like, well, because I interned at Ms. and then wound up in women's magazines, I have this really, like, special perspective on beauty. I don't. Like, I've done a lot of research, but, like, every woman has this conflicted relationship with beauty. You know, a lot of the times that manifests itself as, like, either not feeling great about yourself, but then also kind of feeling great about yourself, too. But it also shows up just in the tools that we use. I mean, we use, you know, you might wear this bright red lipstick because you want to show off, and then you're using concealer to hide your flaws. And that doesn't need to be a point of shame. It just shows the sort of complex relationship that women have with beauty.
But what about the outward, like, announcing of, like, I feel crap, and like this rallying around,
bonding.
Like what's going on there?
A few things. I mean, one of the easiest ways to get support, I think, as a woman is to announce that you don't feel good about yourself. because it's one of the things that, you know, it's something that we expect women to say about themselves.
Yeah, my knee-jerk reaction is like, no, no, you're great.
Exactly.
I immediately comment back.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, you're right. We're not going to make you immune to what we do with every guest that we have on the podcast, which is, tell us about what democratizes your beauty. Like, what
are you look amazing.
Like, oh, you've interviewed hundreds of women for this book, Face Value. Did you find any new products that you love? Like, what are you into these
What was
days?
The drugstore eyeshadow that the nun was using?
I actually don't remember the brand name. I don't think she, She just, it was funny, she had just started wearing makeup. And so she's like, I just went to the drugstore and just tried this blue stuff. It was so wonderful. I mean, just to be bonding with
the good parts of beauty. We should end on a high note.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's very bonding.
Super bonding. That's the thing. And I talk about that in the book a lot. I think beauty is a wonderful bonding tool in that sense.
Tell us this eyeliner that changed your life you mentioned in the book.
Oh, my gosh. The Benefit, the purple.
Is it their real eyeliner?
Isn't that their mascara?
They have a liner too.
They do? Okay,
Well done.
Yeah. And it's like a gel eye color. It's amazing.
It does like a cat eye for you.
Yeah. It's incredible. That stuff changed my life. Although what really changed my life?
Tell us.
Eyelash extensions.
Is she wearing them now?
Oh, yeah. Like, it's going to be really, really hard to stop wearing them. They're expensive.
Is there anyone you want to plug or a place where you go?
Not really. I go.
Well, no, I want to know.
I go to two different places. Lash Loft and Lash Forever. Both, I think Lash Forever is on 57th and Lash Loft is in the 20s somewhere. Or
here
maybe
in New York.
Yeah.
Okay. And do they use a particular brand, or they just individually?
I have no idea what they do. They make magic. I mean, I could not believe, like, the difference. Like, I don't wear much. I used to wear eyeliner every single day, and now I just wear it for, like, an occasion.
That's a
good.
Wow.
Yeah. And also, there's a product.
Great.
Oh, thank you. There's actually a product I will plug, which is that I just got, which is Black Diamond Sealant. And that's, you put it on over your eyelash extensions. Because you don't need to wear mascara with eyelash extensions, but you can't also. But you put this on, it just makes it last longer. So
wait, I'm sorry. When you have I knew this. When you have lash extensions, you can't wear mascara because the chemicals in it probably break down the glue. So this is like a sealant.
And you'll have to take off the mascara. You'll take off the lashes.
Exactly. And you can't wear. You can't use oil-based makeup remover anyway.
What else do you like? What's in your like bag of tricks?
I'm gonna make you unpack. My makeup kit right here, and like my Ziploc baggie.
This is like
the Ziploc bag.
We have to take a picture of that.
Oh my God,
that's so good.
So like, actually, there are the thing that I'm really into right now, which is not this foundation, but I brought it as like a reminder.
Is that Fit Me from Maybelline?
It is Fit Me from Maybelline, which is fine. I mean, it's a good foundation. It's what I wear, and I'm happy with it. But how I got there was an app called Coco. Have you heard of this?
No.
It's brand new. They're just in the process of launching. And it was developed by the woman who did color matching at Hewlett Packard. She was like their color matching, like she was like the president of the color division.
Wow.
And she's doing this app called Coco, K-O-K-K-O. And what you do is they send you this card this color card. You hold it up to your face. You take a selfie, and from there they match your foundation. Because there are plenty of color like foundation matching up.
Correct for weird lighting.
Exactly. Because there's a known quantity on the card. Cool. It's amazing. Like, I bought this and it's like, oh, that's the foundation. I was always like putting two colors on my wrist and like mixing them together for. I've been doing that for 20 years, and with this you don't have to anymore.
So, nice.
And they have like foundations all over the price. All over the price scale. Yeah, this is Maybelline, and it's what I wear every day. So.
Awesome.
Good tip. Yeah.
I also, I hate washing my hair, so I'm a big fan of the dry shampoo. So I use Chlorane, the colored spray stuff. You just put it in.
It's a colored dry shampoo.
Yeah, yeah. You just put it in and, like, let it sit for, like, a minute, and then sort of just, like, ruffle up your head in it.
Nice.
Yeah, so I love that.
The Ziploc bag is pretty nice, by the way.
The Ziploc bag is so neat, and, like, everything is all beat up. The Tarte... concealer. I'm so 90s. The Clinique
Black Honey.
Oh, you know, you knew what you saw.
Black Honey is my very first lipstick ever. The first time I went to the counter. And it's like, I love it, love it, love it. Looks good on everyone.
That's the thing. It really does. It's like the cult favorite for a reason. Like, it's amazing. You can put it on without like seeing it. There we go. And Anastasia eyebrow pencil. So nice.
Well, you look good. All the stuff's working
for
you.
Well, thank you.
Autumn, this has been so fun.
Very informative.
Tell us, if people want to buy your book, obviously they're going to go to their independent bookstore.
Yes, they will.
And if for some reason they can't, they can probably get it on Amazon,
They can get
too.
It on Amazon.
And what's your website if people want to find you and read your blog?
You can just go to autumnwhitefieldmadrano.com.
And your Twitter is what?
Is autumnpaz, AutumnPaz.
In case you want to comment on anything you've heard here. It's been great having you. Thank you so much
for
coming.
Thank you
so much.
This is great.
You're beautiful. You're beautiful.
It's time to raise a wand. Raise a wand.
Somebody please get us music for raise a wand.
It's so, like, it's tragic.
Okay, let's raise a wand.
Okay.
Jess, what are you raising a wand to this week?
I have my, like, one percenter product, but, like, it's so amazing.
What can you afford that nobody else can?
I can't afford it. I used it at my friend's house. He has this amazing, like, Aesop hand wash and a matching lotion, but, like, I don't want to talk about the lotion right now.
I love their hand soap.
Oh, my God. It's fantastic. It's $39. So, like, I mean, that's, like, you can buy a shirt.
No, but it lasts forever.
Not the way I was using it. I would, like, go to the bathroom, and it was such a treat, like, when I was done, to, like, go over to the sink and then use this.
Which flavor scent?
It was just, like, it kind of smelled, like, just kind of aromatic and, like.
Does it have petrigrain?
Oh, my God. Oh, it had this kind of citrusy.
Yes.
Like, smell. So, yes, it definitely had
pedigree.
You thought
I was going to hate this, but I support it fully.
I felt like kind of a jerk bringing this up, but it just, like, changed my mood. I felt, like, you know, in a better station. Like, after I left the bathroom, I was like, you know what?
You look more. Yes.
I felt good. I was like, all right, what are we doing now? You know?
My hands smell like pedigree.
Yeah. It was definitely a different, like, experience than, like, your standard soft soap. Soft soap.
I love
if you
it.
Find $40 on the floor, spend it on this.
Okay, and if you find $400 on the floor.
Oh, my God. We're losing, like, five listeners after this.
I know. But I have been testing the Simple Human Wide View Sensor Mirror. It's a vanity mirror. What?
Does it change, like, lights?
It's freaking cool.
I need one of these so badly.
So it has an app, and you go, like, you'll go to work. I look horrible at work. I go into the bathroom. I'm like, why do I look like death? So what you do is you use the Simple Human app, you record the light settings at your office, then you go home and you sync up to the app with the mirror, and the mirror's lights will recreate your office lighting so that you can do your makeup so that when you get to work, you don't look like Gollum from the, like, the Ring movies.
Yeah.
And you look like yourself because you did your makeup in the right lighting.
Oh, this is way more advanced than I thought it was.
It's super cool. So I've been using it. You can do outdoor lighting, indoor lighting, candle lighting. But then I have this special custom
Hearst
horrific lighting. And so I do my makeup at home and I'm like, ooh, it looks like it's a little bit much. But I get to the office.
I'm picturing, like,
fabulous.
Kabuki, like, you on the subway with, like, Kabuki makeup.
It's such a good light that, like, it
lets you know that you look okay. Like, I'm like, okay, I look good in this mirror, I get to work, and I still look good.
That's amazing.
Like, they revolutionized the trash can. They're doing the same for the mirror. I'm into it.
That is so cool. I think this might be your favorite, my favorite product of yours you've ever mentioned.
Ooh.
That is so cool.
Hashtag raise a wand. We mentioned a lot of products and people and places and brands and things in this episode, so I just want to put it out there. If you want to find out where any of those things are, go to fatmascara.com.
And you can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter and at fatmascara for both of those things. And you can also contact us directly by emailing us at info@fatmascara.com.
So profesh.
So profesh. Thanks for listening, guys. See you next week.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.